From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
The Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, conference championship reflection episode in between conference championships and the Super Bowl. On the NFL playoffs bye week, Steve and Chris and the stakeholders. We're all stakeholders, actually. So myself, Steve, the stakeholder, Chris, the stakeholder. Chris, what is going on? How's everything? Technical difficulties. I don't know what this is about. I will bring him on in a few if he get his microphone open. I'll say like this. We saw two games last week. We had the AFC-NFC championship games. Definitely going to get the stakeholders' reactions on what they saw. Things, a lot of the big news, especially with the blown call, by the way, in the same game in particular. But there was a lot of blown calls. But Christopher, what's up, man? How's everything?
Can you hear me, man? Can you hear me?
Perfectly. Loud and clear.
Oh, okay.
Loud
and clear. I don't know what's going on over here. Okay. Oh,
me neither.
Okay. Everything's cool. That was interesting. I think this 2018 season will be remembered more for the postseason than it will for the season, man. You know, because of the interesting the dynamic of both of these games. I mean, wow. Hey, we're gonna jump on it. We're gonna jump on it. That's what this hour is for, man. To reflect. Oh, but also I want to mention a few other things real quick, if I may, Azul.
Oh, sure. Well,
hello.
Where?
Number one. Congratulations to Mariano Rivera, the greatest reliever in the history of baseball.
That is true.
The greatest. I don't know if something's wrong with this phone. The greatest reliever in the history of baseball. 100% of the vote. What?
Yep.
What? And let me tell you, here's the funny thing, Azul. It's never been done before, right? Obviously, this is history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
But guess
right.
what? It's going to be done next year, too. Who the hell is going to leave Derek Jeter off the damn ballot?
That's a great question. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, man. I mean, 100%. You know, I would take. You know what? Let me do this. This conversation is being had 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, January 24th, 2019. I'm willing to bet you a dollar, like trading places. Willing to bet you a dollar, he will not get 100% of the vote.
You are on. I will see that, and I'll raise you $2.
All right, cool.
Yes.
$2. Two strong dollars.
He'll have
that's
to.
What's up. All right.
Now Mariano is the best, the greatest all-time reliever. I wouldn't call Jeter the greatest all-time shortstop, but I will give him a lot of points for being as charismatic, a Yankee captain, and a 3,000 hit club member, and all that kind of good stuff with five rings on his finger. I'll do that. And I'm telling you, his charisma is enough to get 100%. I'm pretty sure. I don't know who retired with him. I think maybe somebody from Houston. I'm not really sure who did, but he should walk in. He should walk in. And last thing,
100% though. I don't know about that one, though, bro.
I think he'll walk in.
About 100%. He should get 100%. He should get
100%.
He should get 100% off the strength of not being caught up with them with the New York City life with any scandals. I don't know how he put that on. He should get 100% off of that.
I know. That's weird because he was always out there. That's weird. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And last thing I want to say, you don't have to belabor it, but the last thing I want to say is Adrian Broner is a complete fraud and bum. That's all I want to say.
Oh, please talk about that. Please talk about that real quick. Oh, that fight last week, man.
He's a bum. He's a complete bum. What bothered me is he didn't even – let me tell you what I do, Steve. I've been doing this since I was a kid.
Right.
He was still fighting. I score fights. Mm-hmm. I score them. I
no
sit
doubt.
There, you know,
we
I
all
do. Point
we all do.
More system. I score them with
we
my little
do.
Piece of paper. I like that. It's fun.
It's fun. Yeah, absolutely.
This one was not worth scoring. He never mounted anything. He had a couple of flurries, I think one in the fourth round, maybe one in the sixth. But I'm telling you, and I'm telling the ladies and gentlemen, to all stakeholders worldwide, you missed nothing. You missed absolutely nothing. It was a one-sided, complete fight. I didn't score one third of a second for this bum. He didn't show and talk shit afterwards, too. Unbelievable. I controlled everything, man. He tried to rob me. I'm like, no, dude, you never showed up. You just took your paycheck. Idiot. Can't stand him. He needs to go. Kick his ass out of the top 10. Anyway, that's it. $6 on that damn fight. Damn, that was awful.
Let me say this about the fight, and we'll bring on the stakeholders, and if they want to bring up that fight, like you brought up with Mariano Rivera and Mike Mussina as well. A little quick before I get to the boxing, Mike Mussina, the one dire moment I always think about him when he had the perfect game going in Fenway. I think that was 1999. He was down to the last strike, and Carl Everett slapped that single. I was so pissed.
I know.
He had that perfect game in lock in 1999. I think it was 99. It was somewhere around there. He had a perfect game going on a Sunday night. Game, and Carl Everett slapped that. I'll never forget. He pitched a gem that. Oh, man, he pitched a gem.
It was a perfect game to me. It was just –
It was a perfect
–
No, it was 26 outs. Like, he was down to – he got everybody out, 26 out, and no hits.
I know. Perfect game.
Yeah, perfect game.
Damn. And Boston gave him a standing ovation.
They did. I remember that. Right. Those were the Pedro years, I believe. It was Pedro.
Yes, it was.
Garcia Parra, those guys.
Yep.
Veritek,
yep.
Those guys. Before they went on their run. Before Manny got there, I think. Or Manny had just got there. I don't remember exactly.
Right.
But anyway,
no,
the broader fight. Let me say this. This is something this is what they're not saying about this fight, and I'm glad it kind of went the way it did, Chris, because if you go back and watch the post game of the fight and they revealed the judges' scorecards, some of those cards was 8-4. I don't know where these judges.
Why?
Two of the judges had 8-4. Well, let me finish my point.
Okay.
Bronner landed a couple of furies at some of the end of these rounds. Like, you know, this fight could have been a lot closer than people are actually saying. I had it 10-2, Pacquiao, but I looked at the judge's scorecards. It was literally like 8-4, and like he didn't do nothing. So had he actually done something, this fight could have been rigged. We would have been all flipping.
Absolutely.
It had been a split decision, or it had been a loss or something to Pacquiao, because we've seen Pacquiao get burned by Joe Horn. We've seen him get burned by Timothy Bradley on the scorecards. He was in position. Had he not controlled the fight the way he did, he could have lost that fight. Had Bron actually done something. That was my beef. Nobody brought that up, though.
Nobody brought that part up. I think they were really disgusted. I had it 11 in rounds. I had 11-1. I thought Pacquiao took the seventh round off just to breathe.
Right.
It was awful. Normally I go back and watch fights the next week, Steve, or whatever. This one I never want to see again. Put that in there with the Ali Evangelera fight, which is lost in history and for good reason.
Right.
Awful. But go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Let's bring on the stakeholders. Quick roll call time. We'll get into these conference championship games from this past weekend. I know there's been a lot of debate with the calls or missed calls on the field. One more thing about the boxing. Keith Thurman is fighting finally. I've been trolling him on Twitter all week, but that's a story for another day. Definition of lit. Let's bring him to the conference. Just quick roll call time. Say hello, and we'll start with Lit first. But Lit, just say hello to the people. How you doing? And then we'll to the other stakeholders. What's up, man?
What's up, Steve? What's up, Chris? How's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey, what's up? Hey, I just want to say hi to everybody. The weather's starting to get warm. All the snow bunnies are heading down to Arizona.
God, here we
go. Just want to let everybody know.
Oh, my God. Dread to ask. What's the temperature, real quick, before we go on?
Right now it's about 68, some parts, 71, some parts, but it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. You know, spring training's right around the corner. All the females will be down here.
Oh,
it's all good.
You have to say that when I'm in a triple down goose jacket. Okay, never mind. Just forget it.
That's your problem. That's your problem if you want to wear a goose down jacket or shorts and a flip flop, bro.
I'm like Billy Bob. I am in my feelings, okay? I'm in my feelings.
Oh, but I got love for all you guys, though. All
right. All right.
Yes, sir. Right, hold that. Hold okay. that. Hold that thought, man. We're gonna get his points from the games this past weekend. Let's go to Kristen. Get her on. Kristen, what's going on, man? Congratulations to Mo Rivera. I know you're a Yankees fan as well. What's going on?
Kristen.
Hi, guys. Good evening.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Hi, Chris. Hi, Steve.
Hey,
good. It was good. I did terrible this weekend, though, on my picks, I must say, but that's for later on.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Terrible. But, yeah, congratulations to Mo, the Sandman. Nobody has been a better closer ever.
Nope.
Ever. No, the only man who's done everything right, and that's him.
That is true.
On and off the field, very consistent, well-deserved. Jeter's up next year. Anyway, and congratulations
Well-deserved.
Go ahead.
Chris brought up the question. Do you think he's going to get 100% of the vote, Derek Jeter? I don't think so. Do you think?
I don't know. I've had this discussion with a couple of friends, and I really don't think it's going to be unanimous. As much as we want it to, as fans, and we know his record and how well he plays, and just a well-rounded, humble player on and off the field, also model guy, a lot of competition.
Yeah.
I have to disagree with
you. It is, man.
I want to, Chris. I'm telling you, I really want to. I want it to be that way. I really do. At first I thought, yeah, maybe he will get the – I'm thinking about it. I'm like, don't know. We have to look at the contenders here for a second. So there's a lot of people.
It's not just that. It's just some voters, there are biased. I mean, agree he should get the vote.
I'm just trying to be optimistic. But, definitely. There are some bias. There's some haters. There's some salty-ass people out there. Hopefully they're not voting from Massachusetts. We'll be all right, but we don't know that.
That's the issue.
So we can't pick and choose. You know what I mean? As much as we think I think he's worthy. He's absolutely worthy.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. There's no question. But there's going to be some salty people out there. I would like to see it, but I honestly, I don't think it's going to be unanimous. He will get in, but it's just not going to be unanimous.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that. Because it's not that we're saying that he shouldn't, because of course we think he should. They're looking at, to say you're 100% of something, is kind of saying you are the best at the position ever. And I think some of these voters are looking at him as, well, good shortstop, Hall of Famer, best at his position, probably not. Or you're going to get that kind of shade from voters. And that's kind of the way
I think they're going to play. I know this is a mostly NFL topic show, but I have to say this one thing, especially to you two diehard Yankee fans, which I love and appreciate because I'm one of you. I'm in the family. Here's what I do know. Next year, he's got Bobby Abreu, Jason Giambi, who he played with, Alfonso Soriano, who he played with, and I think Josh Beckett, who he lost to, or you might as well say he did, back in 2003. Mm-hmm. Okay?
He's better than all those guys.
Actually he did.
Right.
Those four dudes are good, but they're not spectacular. Okay?
Correct.
Add to the fact that you also got other guys that are still hanging around. Schilling's going to be on the ballot. Glemmons going to be
Bonds,
on the ballot.
Clemens.
Barry Bonds is going to be on the ballot. I forget who else, but those three names just stick out for me. Okay?
Right.
I don't know if one of those guys are going to sneak in. And the reason I'm bringing that part up is, no offense to the Moose, Messina. Okay? But I would like to think, I'm pretty sure that one of the reasons he slid in on his, fifth, sixth try, I don't know what it was, is because of the lack of, let's just say the denial of the writers to include some of the people that I just mentioned. Okay?
Right.
In Derek Jeter's case, he hit over 300 about
five. You don't have to explain it to us, man. We know this.
I mean, MVP of World Series, Rookie of the Year, he's incredible. He's incredible. Oh, if anybody can hold anything against him these days, it's because he's the goddamn owner of the Marlins, and that's a shit show out there. So, but that's, I just wanted to say that because I'm a Yankee. I'm a Yankee, so, you know, that's how that went.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm out.
Let's do this. All right, cool. Let's go back to Lit, and let's go back to the games over the weekend, last weekend. Yeah. Two great games. Lit, what's your thoughts on both games? Saints, the outcome of the Saints-Ram game, and then the outcome of the Chiefs-Patriots game, and then go get Kristen's thought, and Chris and myself. But let's look at it like this. One more thing before I say this. We're going to have our Super Bowl 53 episode next week. So, you know, let's hold off on Rams Patriots talk this week because we got it all next week anyway. So, let's reflect on this conference championship league. Go ahead, Lit.
Yeah, so, you know, the games itself were all right, but what I was waiting to, you know, to talk to you guys about was the bigger problem that needs to be addressed. We have referees. Certified public accountants. They are part of law firms. What I don't understand is personnel for each team, management, coaches are held to a code of conduct. What type of conduct are referees bound to when they make a blatant call that jeopardizes the game? I don't see how these professionals can say we made a mistake, the league will call the opposing team that lost, we're sorry, we messed up. What needs to be done to hold accountable? What needs to be done to hold for the referees to be held accountable? Now, Steve, Chris, you guys would know better than I would. Let's say you're a back judge. You're guaranteed $20,000 to coach the NFC, or excuse me, to ref the NFC Championship game. Both of those back judges and the side judges theoretically should have been dock pay, $15,000. All you're getting is $5,000. I don't know what Roger Goodell has as far as those referees. We all know they are all full time referees. There was this big thing with they wanted to become full time because they were part time. They weren't getting any benefits. Do they have any type of code of conduct, code of ethics that they need to follow? Because any way you look at it, guys, whether you're an Eagles fan, whether you're a Giants fan, Cowboy, we've all been screwed by bad calls, and enough is enough. What is the proactive way to hold them accountable, but also to call it fairly? It needs to be fairly. You can't turn a blind eye on a pass interference. A fake hand to the face that gets from 3rd and 16 to 1st and 10. These phantom calls or no calls. What can be done to assure the fan that the integrity of the game is not compromised? The ultimate thing I wanted to say was I so believe the integrity of the game has been tainted forever now.
Wow. Kristen, you want to answer Liz's questions and Kristen's and myself?
I agree. The consistency is horrific with the referees. It's just all over, right in the NFL. I just wish the college ball and college refs can switch with us just for a week. Just at least during the friggin' Super Bowl, give us that much. Just make it as clean as possible. That's all. It's really bad. The calls were bad. Even the call that was on. That they called with Brady, the guy basically brushed his chest.
Yeah.
And they called it. So they're either calling little bullshit or they're not calling it at all. So the consistency is just gone. There's no consistency in the NFL. And yeah, I agree. I think they should be accountable. They should be held accountable. If this is consistent or it's chronic where the same officials are still doing the same thing every week, the different teams, they should be penalized. They should take a hit on their paycheck. They don't get paid enough as it is, but it's just the point. There's got to be some kind of consequence behind it.
Yeah, there should be. Let's agree about this. That call that was never called was one of the worst ever, blatantly.
Absolutely.
Okay? That's a fact. And besides, they were having momentum. It got loud up there in Mercedes-Benz. You know, I think if I can remember that, let me remember that drive. I remember hitting Kamara on his sweet third and two, and it was nice. It put them in scoring position.
Mm-hmm.
And he hit Ginn. I think it was Ted Ginn. What the hell is the? I think it was Ted Ginn hit on that long pass. I'm talking about Breeze now, and everything looked sweet. And then all of a sudden, that play happened.
Yeah.
Okay. No flag was thrown, and everybody went batshit on the Saints side of the field, including the fans. And you know how those fuckers get loud up there, those Who That motherfuckers. They get loud.
Yeah.
So they
right.
went crazy, and everybody got nervous. So the Saints,
did
they have to do? They had to settle for a 31-yard field goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then that made it off, I think, 23-20. But it gave L.A. enough time to march back into Saints territory, and that their kicker hit that 48-yard long-ass field goal with 15 seconds to play. So here's the thing. The defense didn't tighten up and didn't prevent that. Hold on. I'm almost there. Hold on. This is what I do know for sure, and I'm leading to something else here. The Saints won the overtime toss. They got the ball first. Then Dante Fowler, he hit Drew Brees. He forced a bad throw. Josh Johnson III intercepted it. The Rams took over at their 45 or 46, and Zerline hit a fucking long-ass 58-yard field goal or something like that. All I know is the longest in postseason history. Now, that's what I saw happen. Now, back to your point. If this was
the you're
Giants,
talking about
I
the
fucking
43-yarder to Ginn. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that's what I was talking about earlier. Yeah, I couldn't really remember exactly who it was or how long it was. Okay,
yeah.
Yeah,
that was to Ginn.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, my point is this. There was still game to be played, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And they needed to play the goddamn game. I was yelling as loud as everybody else, but I knew there was time left on the goddamn clock. If you watch very closely, you go back and play that tonight after we get off the show, you're going to see some of the zip just go right out of the damn Saints. They're not going to be marching in anymore. They just felt defeated. Right then. They didn't press. That's not championship. Okay? That's not championship caliber. That's why I'm pissed. Was the call there? Yes, it was. Did the fucking refs fuck it up? Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got fucking Saints fans all over. We're going to sue the NFL. Fuck that.
Right.
They stopped playing. They stopped playing. I couldn't believe it. If the Giants had had that, I would have had a double, triple fucking coronary. You motherfuckers would not have been tearing
exactly.
me right now.
That's the difference. They just laid down and died right there. The way he was
died
out of his
right
sales,
there.
The coaches, everybody was defeated, and they didn't do anything. I said, wait a minute.
They didn't do
time
anything.
On the clock. It ain't over.
Thank you.
This
they
thing is not
playing.
Over. What is everybody doing? Everybody, Breeze looked defeated. I mean,
thank you.
If you pan somebody that said. Camera out from that play forward, it was over.
It was over. They had no energy on the sideline. Michael Thomas, I can point out for sure, just gave the fuck up. He was ready to go back
did.
To the locker room. And he was caught up anyway, man, because I was at the game when they played earlier this year. I think it was week 9, and Thomas went off. He had a 200-yard game on the Rams. But with Tlaib and all these fools around him this time, he never showed up. So he was having a bad day anyway. That's why Kamara had to save the day with them guys.
Yeah,
but the
he
point
did.
Is,
you're right.
The Saints never – they did not play championship ball on their home field when it counted in the trenches at the crucial moment, and they let two long field goals defeat them. That's what the hell happened. That's,
right.
And I am off the goddamn podium. Azul.
I can't argue that point. Those are great points. You have – that's a great piece of perspective from the game and the outcome. You know what, dude? The Saints fans have been suing the NFL and writing to the commissioner. Let me tell you something. If that had been the Giants, you would have been – all you guys would have been carbon copied on emails to the commissioner's office, because I'd be irate too. That was a – Chris, this is one point I do disagree with. You said that was one of the worst calls in NFL history. No, that was the worst call in NFL history. There's nothing worse than I literally jumped out of my chair when I saw that. I never do that for teams I don't even have a stake for. I know we have confident points.
You're right.
Within our stakeholders. That was the worst call I ever seen in my life. And I'm trying to think of any other sport. Even the cornerback, even in the after the game, even said, "Damn, you know, I didn't even play the ball." He said it. I mean, he admits it.
He was that blatant.
And then if you look at the wide receiver, he does a tumble. I mean, he's getting up, shaking his head, and no flag comes out. The game was over, dude. I wouldn't say the game was over, but the probability of it was over because I would have gave the Saints at least a 95-96% chance of ending that game in regulation because had it been a PI, they would have got the ball probably on the 4-3 yard line. All they had to do, the Rams only had one timeout. All they had to do was they were already under the 2 minute warning. They could have milked the clock to 40 seconds maybe. After a couple of plays, kicked the field goal. That field goal kick was not – basically the old-school extra point. The Rams would have got the ball back. They would have had to go all the way down the field with 27, 28 seconds if you do the math. So, and theoretically, that game was over, dude. And
it was.
I know a lot of people make cases as far as all the bad penalties they could have called. And that's true. I mean, you got to call it both ways, both sides. But this was – this is what needs to be happening. The answer to Litt's question, before we move on, accountability, of course, the referees need to be fined, suspended, or something. But this is what they need to do going forward. And there's this chatter about the competition committee, should they make subjective penalties? Can they go back and review? I think they should not do that. Unless they might experiment that maybe the last 2 minutes of each second and fourth quarter right before the 2 minute warning or after the 2 minute warning, they could do it like that and test it maybe in preseason. I don't know. They could play around with it, but I think it's just a terrible call they just missed. And if they're ever going to do something now, there's the argument of adding extra refs in the game.
Why?
I don't think that may not be just because how can you miss it if you have extra refs? But usually referees, there's a set number of referees that play and they work together, and you want that continuity because they're kind of like a third team out there. So you want to make sure they get all the calls right. But the thing is, the referees have been bad for years anyway. This isn't the only year, but this is what should have happened. Now I think Goodell was at the other game. He was at the Patriot game. He could have came down like Vince McMahon from the back. You know, otherwise WWE and the outcome is already over, and then Vince McMahon comes from the back. Oh, no, we're going to start this match back up. You need a Goodell to do some shit like that.
He controlled
in this
that.
Game because it was that. He had somebody like that or Troy. No, this is what they could do in the future. Like, I mean, if it has to come down to the conference championship game, you could have Goodell at one game and have Troy Vincent or somebody that's high up at the other conference championship game. And when bullshit like this happens, like, you got to call that right, man. Because we know right as well. You can't let that game go like that, man. Not on that. You know, that was too blatant. I mean, it wasn't even just a PI. I think he might have hit him helmet to helmet on there. I mean, it was like
he did hit him helmet to helmet. No one
crowded receiver.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it even worse. You could have called any penalty on that and been out of them. This would have never been a topic. So Litt, to answer your question, I think they're going to punish the referees. They're going to find a ways to officiate this game. Maybe they're going to issue some sort of call challenge or something going in the future. It's not going to be implemented in the game. They're going to test it out like preseason. They're going to go through the competition committee. They're going to go through proper channels because the argument is if you allow PI as a call – about holding, then it gets really, really tricky, man. Holdings and if you hold, you know, offensive line holding and defensive cornerback holding, it's a slippery slope. So, I think going forward, they got to find a way to overturn it at that time, and you got to have somebody high in the, you know, the officials at the game, or one of, if one can't make it, make the other one. Especially in that type of situation, this is the Super Bowl. These are people, families, our livelihood is on this,
right?
Because of this messed up call. And we're just fans, but think about it. Somebody's family is asked out. Coaches are going to get fired. People are going to get replaced because of this bad call or non-call. I want to bring up another topic to the table, and I'll let you get a crack at this first. The overtime. I don't know, Chris. I know you have your opinion on this, and I look, and Kristen, same for you. I know you. I would love to get your opinion on this on air, but Lit, do you like the overtime? I'm kind of more so the college football, the way they do things. I can't. That's another thing. It's almost as bad as the penalty, the pass interference. You go through, I was going to say spring training. You go through training camps and all these travel, preseason, regular season games, wars, no matter where you play. And on your season, it comes down to a goddamn coin flip. I don't like that, you know. And I know you had the team. You have the chance to play defense and get off the field. I like the college approach where at least somebody gets the ball back. But I propose even a better, I would say better, an alternative solution. And I think this really goes to general managers, how they put together their teams. Lit, I propose, and you may agree or disagree, I want to get your thoughts on overtime. I think they should scrap the coin toss, Lit. I think if you have home field advantage, you should take the 60-yard field goal with your kicker or defer it to the visiting team. If he makes that field goal, they decide who gets the ball first. I think that's the best way. It happens on the field. It's not controlled by a coin flip. But, Lit, what's your thoughts on that? And then we'll go to Kristen and Chris.
You know, Steve, real quickly, you brought something up that just pulled my ears. Yes, can you imagine Roger Goodell coming down the ramp to the field with Vince McMahon's theme music, No Chance in Hell?
Right.
Restart this match.
Wow.
Right,
that would
right.
be sick, dude. Yes, with his music, No Chance in Hell. Hey, no, I'm a big wrestling guy, but no, that was perfect, dude. So, listen, there has to be, you know what, Steve? I don't know what we could do to fine-tune the overtime situation. One thing I will agree with you, Steve, is forget the coin toss. That we need to come up with something better.
That's archaic, man.
To establish
archaic.
Who gets, yeah. It is. Now, I like the idea of maybe, you know, each team gets a possession from the 25-yard line. And it's almost like whoever gets the ball first, hey, you score. It's almost like a tit for tat. They keep on going until, you know, it's the last man standing. But to take the ball, to drive it 75 yards, wherever you run it out from, that's game. Where's really the competition in that? I've never liked that, Steve. I've always liked the college way of doing it on how it's a tit-for-tat type of a situation. But, hey, look, I'm going to say this. You know, if you're a Patriots fan, you don't want to change nothing. Hell no. You want to take that ball, run, and go home. Not give anybody a second opportunity to one-up them. But I think something does need to get done. Steve, I just kind of want to parlay this as well. Something needs to get done in the overtime session. Something needs to get done with refereeing. And I'm hoping that in the next few years, we're going to see some changes for the better that the fans, you, me, Christiane, Chris, will appreciate and enjoy. Because that's the bottom line. I mean, if there are no fans, who gives a shit about football, really?
Right. Great points, man. What's your thoughts on overtime on that? Shout out to Lit. What's your thoughts? Do you like the coin toss? Do you have an alternative to the overtime or anything else? And I know Chris has a lot to say on that, and I'll carry on.
Yeah, I don't like the coin toss. I definitely don't. I think we've even spoke about it. I mean, if it comes down to getting your punters out there and see who punts the farthest and just – let's just get it done, wrap it up, and be done with it. This back and forth, tit for tat, like the coin toss is definitely unfair. I don't like the coin toss at all. I do like the college way also. but I don't. I even like starting at the 10-15 yard line. That sounded good to me, but I do like even punting. Get your two punters out there, see who could kick the farthest field goal, whatever. I mean, really,
yeah. Oh.
Let's wrap it up and go home already. I mean, they're beating it to death, and you got penalties. The injuries start stacking up. Guys are exhausted, you know, so I don't know. I think it's
– I mean, can I ask you this? Like, I'll give you a hypothetical, and then we'll go to Chris. Let me ask you this. It's like – The idea I propose is the field goal kicker, because it goes to you have to really make calculated decisions with your roster. You can't really leave nothing out, especially when you have to put more emphasis on a kicker. Matter of fact, I'll even take it a step further. Even a couple of seasons ago, the league purposely moved the extra point back so they could make kickers make extra points. Like, it counts, actually. Because before, extra points was like, when somebody got a touchdown, that's 7 points. In today's NFL, it's not guaranteed because they moved it back, because they say your kickers are going to have to, you know, it has to be worth it now. We're going to move it back. He has to actually make it. Now you got teams strategizing, going for 2 points instead of one, yada, yada, yada. My whole point is, look at it like this. Let's say we're Giant fans, and we've had a great kicker this year. Let's say, hypothetically, we were in the playoffs. All right, we were in the playoffs. Would you not think, if it came down to, and Giants had a home field for a playoff game, a home field, and we went to overtime, and we had the opportunity to make the choice, hey, let's put Rojas out there. If the wind is really swirling at MetLife, because if the wind was swirling, we'll say, nah, we'll give it to the other team. We'll let Chicago kick it if we're playing Chicago. If the wind is swirling and we don't like how the wind is blowing, nah. Rojas, you stay back. Let the other kicker do it. But if it ain't and we have a confidence, let's kick it and we'll make the choice on who gets the ball.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Well, if you put
and,
it that
and
way,
put
then,
emphasis on
like
kickers, it. Like you might have to draft for a kicker now. You may have to draft for a kicker. Literally. Oh man.
Exactly.
I actually
and
like
a hot
the
commodity.
College way.
You got
okay.
Listen, look at how bad the kickers were a couple of weeks ago, costing them the game.
Yeah, really.
This is a make or break deal.
Game.
That's it. You don't have a choice.
Yeah, the Chicago
you put
game.
That thing in there. This is on you now.
Yeah, that hurt my feelings.
You're going to make it work.
Yeah.
Rosas is going to make it work. You're getting paid. You're going to make it work. Trust me.
Mm-hmm. Because if you're a home team, before we go to Chris, because if you're a home team. Uh-huh.
I'd rather have the kick and play it safe than to have my guys that are already gassed and already beat the hell down. How many times does the kicker get out there, honestly? He's not even winded. Get him out there. Let Rosas kick that shit, and let's go home. That's it.
Because look at it like this. If you're a dome team, if you're like the Colts or you're in Dallas or you're these other teams that play inside a dome and you got a money kicker and you're the home team, of course, you probably, chances are, if it came down to overtime, yo, my guy's going to go out there, let him kick, make the 60-yard field goal. We'll make the choice of whether taking the ball first or deferring it. I like that approach. I'm not even opposed to what Jason said as far as the Oklahoma, not Oklahoma, the college rules. But the only difference I would different from the college rules, don't start at the 25. I would push it back further, maybe like the 40. Or 45 or something, because it's the pros.
Oh, okay.
I would do that, you know, move it back a little bit, because college, they start at the 25, I think. But for the pros, I'll back it up a little bit. But I have no issue with that approach either. But I think I like to, you know, put more emphasis on the kicker, because you can win or lose in this league because of the kicker. Ask Tom Brady with the Super Bowl season one.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, what's your thoughts on this, man?
I really don't have any. I didn't really think about it until you asked me the other day. I would prefer, though, I kind of like the college way. The way they do it is the way you're supposed to do it, I think. You know, even the feel up a little bit. Give everybody a chance. But, you know, I'm evolving. I don't really, you know, I'm so used to the coin toss that I never really thought about anything else. I would, you know what, I think that it's worth looking into to brighten this and freshen the whole game up a bit. You know, in terms of how you do distribute the ball, but I just I don't know. I'm down for anything, man, as long as it improves the quality of play. So it doesn't bother me one way or the other. I'm for sprucing up thing. So yeah, I can get with that thinking. I really don't have no good opinion either, one or the other. So that's cool. You know,
the funny thing with the overtime this past weekend, you had a team that won the coin toss and won the game, or actually won the coin toss and deferred and lost the game, and you had another team who won the coin toss and got an interception and lost the game. So you've seen both sides.
Right.
Like they said, well, the coin toss is kind of a moot point. Well, I kind of like it where both teams get the ball. I like what Jason said, or even do something with the kickers. Let them like some sort of punt, pass, and play thing. Kick a 60-yard field goal. I mean, that's probably everything too. So you may have to make roster moves for a kicker just in case it comes down to it. Either way, Lit, Chris, you have any questions for Kristen or Lit, or and if Lit has any questions?
Not right now. I suppose I did, but I don't remember anything because I'm getting old. I don't know. I don't know. I just know one thing. I'll tell you this though, Steve. I think this particular. I know we have to go to the next game, but this particular past NFC and AFC championship games. This is one of the best weekends ever, man. You know, normally one's a dud, one's a thriller, or one's a nail biter, and the other one is marred by a bunch of bad calls and penalties or whatever. But these were thrillers. They had the dramatic effect each way. So I think this was a really good, you know. I mean, of course my team wasn't there, but it was a really good a weekend, you know, for everything. So I was happy with that. I just wanted you to know that.
So what are the outcomes of the games? Did it surprise all you guys? The Chief game.
I thought the Saints were gonna win. I thought the Saints.
Oh, they did win.
I had all my money on the
refs,
Saints. I didn't know they had their money on the Saints too. So you know, so that sucked. But that's a shame too, man. You know what? About a week ago when we had this show, I said, you know, I really truly believe that maybe the Rams. I knew that the Rams couldn't be. I didn't think the Rams could beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Okay, but I believed that they could get there. Okay, and I really felt that the Saints, you know, if they were to get to the Super Bowl, they can beat the Patriots. Okay, mm-hmm. But and my basis was the fact that I thought that the Saints' run defense would prolong them. Okay. But after seeing Gurley and what's that guy's name? CJ, the other guy, the running back that the Rams picked up late in the season.
Anderson.
Yeah, you know they did a bad job of defending those the run, and so with the Patriots run offense improving the way it did this year, becoming a powerhouse offense, I couldn't see the Saints beating them either, even if the Saints had gotten here. I just wanted to say that. That's all of that without giving up anything.
Kristen, if you want to answer this too. When you watch that Patriots game, did that not remind you of Bill Parcells' 1990 Super Bowl versus the Bills in the third quarter? Like, everybody talks about this is a passing league, yet the – games where you saw dominance, where the Rams destroyed the Cowboys, you saw the Patriots literally with the time of possession. I mean, it's a strategy. It's chess. You can still run the ball in this league. I'm tired of this. Oh, it's a passing league. It's a passing league in a sense because the calls are favorable to the offense. And the defense, you can't barely touch a guy. It's almost like the NBA. You can't touch these guys no more. But unless you were, in the last quarter of the Saints game, that's different. But
yeah.
Running the ball, still running. This thing is still old school. You run the trench. The Patriots got a piecemeal line and still doing this. I mean, this is coaching, man. You know?
Yep.
The coaching, like, running the ball still wins in this league, Chris.
Yep.
Coaching, man. Come on, man.
Coaching, man.
This team is coaching, man. I would take this team.
What is it?
Yo, they proved it the last few weeks, man. Coaching. Coaching, man, you change up your scheme. You playing chess out here, man.
See, Bilo's right, man. It's coaching.
Man, we got some great sound bites for the show. All right, Steve, but that's, you know, what about this other game, Steve?
Yeah.
What you looking
Which
at,
one?
Man? I mean,
which one?
Oh, the Chiefs and the Chiefs, the other one.
Yeah, let's get Litz and Kristen's thoughts on it. Litz, what's your thoughts on that AFC game, man? And then Kristen.
You know, Steve, I know that you were there with me, but you mentioned what game the Chiefs Patriots kind of reminded you of. You kind of mentioned the 90s. Games with Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
You know, I might be a little wrong, but I think I'm dead on. The game between the Patriots and the Chiefs reminded me of the game you and I were at, Carolina, New York. Just a little bit. What do you think? Am I right on there? Just the kind of way that just the game, how it kind of parlayed itself out?
It's hot as fuck out there, but.
Oh man, that was brutal. That was brutal.
It was. I was
there.
That's kind of what reminded me of. But you know, as far as that game, I mean, you know,
whoever said, I don't know if it was you or Chris that said that, but it was, you know,
pound the ball and coaching.
Better check one up.
And that's really interesting because, Steve, a lot of people say, Chris, help me out with this because you live so close to Philly and you know all the innuendos of those dirty piece of shit fans down there and that whole team. But doesn't Andy Reid screw something up on an every game basis? Is it coaching?
No, actually, here's a great point.
And I'm hoping Christiane can jump in. Big O had a soundbite. It's coaching, man. It's coaching.
It's
Is
coaching,
it really coaching,
man.
Or does Andy Reid suck?
It's like two sides of the same coin when you say that question.
Well, go ahead.
Does Andy Reid suck?
Yeah, he makes bonehead calls, definitely.
All right, go ahead, Kristen.
Yeah, Andy Reid is notorious for that. He could be winning a game and make one outrageous call, and it's like, what the hell is this guy? He's notorious for that. So I'm just thankful to God he's not anywhere near the Giants. So we don't need any of that bad mojo.
Yeah. You know, I've watched Andy Reid for years over here. And
yes, he has.
The thing about Andy Reid, he's a really, really good coach. He's a really, really good coach. But you can't let him be – you can't put him in a precarious position. I'll give you an example. Sunday night. Now, that defense, which led the league in sacks, by the way, okay, mm-hmm. They struggled on third down all night long. Mm-hmm. They could not get off the field. And
right.
It's a problem that they actually had all season long. Their big-ass pass rush with Houston and all of those guys, they was mowed down by the New England offensive line. And Brady had a field day with soft coverage the entire time. As a matter of fact, in overtime, Azul, I'm looking at your face right through the screen here when I say this. In overtime, the Chiefs had three different times. I go back and look if you don't believe me. Three different times where they could not stop the Patriots on third and 10. And this was just overtime.
Right.
Okay? So what happened was, you know, the blocking, I mean, you know, the running game and the blocking in the end zone, it just manhandled the damn Chiefs. And Burkhead went ahead in the end zone and he won the game. That's the position that Andy Reid is going to lose 95% of the time. He always does. And I don't know why he's so snake-bitten. You know, before him, there was an old coach named Marty Schottenheimer. Same thing. They always kick through a situation where – they could be winning the game too, man. But it's always a missed field goal, a fumble here. In this case, on Sunday night, D Ford
That's where I was going to go with. Go ahead.
God awful. It's the Andy Reid snake bag job. That's what happened. So yeah, Andy Reid is he's snake bitten. I'll leave it at that. He's snake bitten.
I'm kind of shocked at the stakeholders who went with the Chiefs. I'm surprised. I'm not shocked. Shocked is a little higher level than surprised. Like, Christian, I thought you was going to be all over the Patriots because the reason why I thought the Patriots were going to win this week was the same reasons you said when they beat the Chargers or were going to beat the Chargers. It's the Patriots. They've been down this road before. They've got a culture of just knowing the level of detail and just knowing what to do and when to do it. And they've seen every coverage for 16, 17 years between their, from Belichick down all the way from Brady, man. So I look at it like this, and Chris, you stole my thunder, but I'll add on to it with the D4 situation. That's coaching, man. I mean, that's
coaching.
Level of detail. You tell your players in these meetings how to line up, where to line up, what not to do, what to do, what not to do. See, Andy Reid is the type of coach. He'll get you 11 wins, 10 wins in the regular season. He's a walk-in playoff bird. But when it comes to going up against disciplinarian-type coaches like a Belichick, I just don't see him out-scheming him. Like, Belichick's a schemer, man. It's like two of these guys, they meet up in the park. Andy Reid's bringing one game set. Belichick's coming in with another game set. But the difference is Reid's bringing a checkers board. Belichick's bringing a chess board. It's totally two different things. Andy Reid doesn't make adjustments because he's an offensive guy. Their strength is the offense, and Belichick was ahead of it. He's a defensive guy. He's like, well, how are we going to beat the Chiefs? We're going to not have their offense on the field. They can't hurt us if they're on the sideline. Old school football, I appreciate that. I see so many people who are even Giant fans, I hate to say, or even not the Giants, but just – the going into the game and just looking at how the game plan played out, I just respect that so much that they beat them on some old school football stuff and they could not stop it. And Chris, and then when it came down to the money down the third down, they found the hole in Bob Sutton's defense, and that's the reason why they made him the scapegoat and got him fired.
Yeah.
They out-schemed them. Talent for talent. Think about it. If put it like this. You put Andy Reid as the head coach of the Patriots – and you put Bill Belichick as the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, what do you think they would have done with those each other's roster?
Mm-hmm.
I think Belichick would have blew them out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He has more pieces to work with. Belichick is literally doing – this is probably the worst Patriots team of them all that made the Super Bowl, like personnel-wise.
Right.
But they know how to coach them and get them ready, man. And they played that smash. It's like almost – like, they played a style of football this postseason that they didn't show their hand. They didn't show their poker hand in a lot of the regular season. It's like they, it's like people were looking at game tape and did not see this coming. And that's great, great scheme work, man. And it's like you fooled them. You fooled a lot of people because when you think of Brady, you think of passing yards, Edelman, James White out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. But they play smash football for weeks versus two.
That running game.
No, the Chiefs. You know, it could get after the quarterback. It overall stinks, and the Chargers' defense is no cake in the walk. So, yo, man, great stuff, man. Great. Hey, Lit, can we get some final thoughts from you, then Kristen, and then Chris, and then we got the Super Bowl 53 episode next week. So we'll make our official picks because, you know, we're going to have 16 confidence points next week, and then we'll put the spread on it, too. You add some points with the spread, some bonus points. But, Lit, your final thoughts – all the games moving forward, so on and so forth. Kristen and then Kristen.
Final thoughts, you know, I just kind of wanted to leave it with this. With what I was saying earlier about, you know, referees, they are professionals. They need to be held at a much higher standard refereeing the game. I hate to throw into the mix that there could be games that were tainted, but I hope that this problem is resolved with alternative remedies to solidify a good, calm game all around. As you all know, next week is the last game of the football season, and we are probably 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks away from finding out what is going to happen with Eli Manning. I will speak to you all next week.
You got many years left. many years left.
You got me on that one.
I got to find that. I got you, man. I'm going to put that out there for you, man. That's a perfect one. I got you, man.
You got me going all over Indy on that one. Yeah.
Wow.
Right. We got him on that. Kristen, your final thoughts as well. We got 16 confidence points. We're going to add some bonus points for the spread as well, man. So I'll read off the scores, too, before we get off. Go ahead, Kristen, final thoughts.
Everybody was, you know, up in New England, but I do have to just really quick, that 54-yarder to Watkins from Mahomes was phenomenal. Phenomenal. Hamilton had great defense for Kansas City. That turnaround touchback with the interception was amazing. I do like Mahomes. I always did. The kids got talent, and they're only going to go up from here, but that defense really got to start working. They do have a good defense, but they just weren't a match for Brady. But I don't like the Patriots. I really don't. I live in Connecticut. I'm surrounded by these idiots all day long, 24/7. I just can't do it. I can't go for the Pats again. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go for the Rams. Those are my final thoughts. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue.
Bleed blue.
I'm just going to use my little time to talk about one bright spot that I know that's going to happen and going to be fun in the coming years. I think it's very safe to say that the future looks bright for the Chiefs because Patrick Mahomes far exceeded most people's expectations in his first year as the starting QB. He'll probably win the MVP. What's important to remember is that even against this phenomenal juggernaut called the New England Patriots, Mahomes did lead the Chiefs to 31 points in the second half, and he only did it on 32 plays too. And he took the other one. Well, he took the KC from their own 31-yard line down three with 32 seconds left, and he managed to set up the field goal to push the game into overtime by making throws in tight windows. That's important. So to me, that performance that he displayed, and throughout, not only the postseason, that was a postseason game, and throughout the regular season, learning on the fly, elevating the Chiefs' offensive concepts every week, it makes things really, really feel better, even after crushing loss like they had last week. He's only 23 years old, and he's the core of a team being young, and this is just the start for this offense and this team. And everything I just said, I hope everybody in the New York Giants front office heard. That's it. That's why I said it. That's it. That's it for me. Azul, take us home, homie.
All right. Here's the point stands going into next week. Lit has 17. Steve from L.A. has 21. It's tied for first. Billy Bob has 18. Chris has 14. I have 21 tied for first. And Kristen, you're at 10. Bakes and Frank are, I think, at 9 respectively. So we're going to put 16 confidence points, and we'll add some bonus points for the spread and make it real fun for next week's Rams versus Patriots Super Bowl 53. Great episode, guys. Remember, also, after the Super Bowl, and we're going to go through each area like we do every year. One week's going to be the offensive line. One week's going to be the linebackers. One week's going to be the running backs, all the way up through the NFL draft. So I'm going to look out for those episodes. I'm starting to actually look at tape now, starting to study what I actually did see with my own two eyes. But it's good. Always good. Go to the tape, rewind it. Oh, he missed a block here. Or they didn't do something here. So I'm going to be studying up on Giants tape. Between after the Super Bowl and all the episodes. So who knows? And Chris, we got to get your Giants history. We got to bring that back, man. It's kind of like almost disappeared in a sense. We bring back some of that Giants
history. I know.
History,
I just forgot about it.
The kids need to know, man. The kids need to know. Some of these kids, these millennials need to know.
Been bleeding blue since
1970. Yeah.
That's right.
Some of these Giant fans hit me and they're like, whatever happened to Giant? They're like, what happened to the history? I was like, damn, that's a great question. What did happen to the history?
We'll bring that back too, man.
We'll
officially back next week. We'll start, whenever you want to do it. You know.
Right, after the Super Bowl sounds good, man.
Oh, and I want to say one more thing with the tiny bit of seconds we got left. I already gave the Chiefs some love, so I'm going to say this. But what's next? Because I got a lot of Saints fans now that I'm partners with, so I want to say this. They will be formidable next year, assuming that the emotional scars heal. But it remains to be seen how much they can improve next year. Because Mark Ingram, he's headed for free agency. They're going to have less money than we do in salary cap. They got $20 million. No, and the team has no first-round draft pick. And the reason they did that is because so they could keep Marcus Davenport. I don't know. Pay attention. That's all I got to say. All right, Steve. That's it.
All right. Sangre Azul, Kristen Litt.
Sangre!
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.